Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's enerfood.com. enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, September 6th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. It's September 6th, folks. Labor Day is behind us, and here we are, flowing beyond the relaxing days of summer's tranquility. It's back to school for many of you that are listening out there. So sadly, I know, folks, but it's time for you that are parents to return from your cruise ship vacations, your overseas explorations, your biplane loop-the-loops for those that have them. It's time to return your yachts to the harbor and buy school supplies. I know it's hard to leave the summer luxuries behind, but they'll be waiting for you next year, my friends. Nathan, what are you talking about? What do you mean yachts and cruises and biplanes? I can't even afford a toaster. Oh, you can't, listener? I apologize. Ladies and gentlemen, I just had an oops moment here on live radio. Sorry about that, folks. For a second, I thought that it was back to school in 1997. My apologies, folks. You know, you remember those days back then when times were different, when times were easier? You remember them, folks? When it was easy to live the American debt dream and hawk your house and then go on a cruise? Do you remember them now, folks? Am I jogging your memory? How many of you can actually remember when they did have those loans back then? You could borrow 110 to 120% of your home's value and then just go spend the money on whatever you wanted to buy. On crazy, fun stuff like shiny cars with leather or shiny jackets made out of leather or fancy briefcases made out of leather. Remember those days, folks? Everyone had credit cards to max out. Pagers were in and brick phones were going out. The American dream was strong. It had vigor, and to live it was our duty, and to contest it, well, those were fighting words. America, love or to leave it. If you don't like it, then leave. Remember those days, folks? The American dream was brought to you by Visa and MasterCard and Bank of America liar loans. But hey, no one was keeping score, so the dream was a close friend that would never, ever go away. The American dream was a bunker that would always be there, waiting for us to feed and clothe us. But then, something happens. It appears that someone was keeping score. And who knew that the American dream would cease being our bunker and turn into our flooded basement? Who knew that the American dream would end up condemning millions of houses and homes and taking them away from the people? Who knew? Did you know this in 1997, folks? Remember when many of us thought that Clinton was bad? And we talked about it at the water cooler and in between worship songs at church? Remember when we would lean over and say, "Psst, hey Mervin, did you hear about what old Slick Willie did?" "Yeah, I know. And what's up with that Janet Reno? Boy, she scares me." Remember those days, folks? And who knew that only two presidents later, the powers that be would hose down the American financial world with gasoline and light a match? In 1997, who knew that 10 years later we'd have a Muslim president? In 1997, who knew that in the next decade, a giant, enormous tanker full of bug bomb and paint stripper poison would be shellacked over and inside the Gulf of Mexico, essentially killing it? Who knew that we would be involved in wars spanning five nations and counting? Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, and how many more are just around the corner? Syria, Lebanon, Iran? Who knew that everything was going to change? Who knew that a new depression would arrive, dislocating one-fourth of the nation's workers? My friends, who knew that God's judgment would arrive in America just 10 years later? And folks, whether or not you knew or I knew, it doesn't matter, because now we all should know. There you go again, Nathan, trying to scare everybody. Folks, I know that I get accused of that a lot, and I'm not here to scare people. I'm here to serve. Serve, my friends. I'm here to serve. To serve notice. To deliver a communique. To deliver a memo. To deliver some information. And I know that it's not fun to hear this stuff, so I guess that makes us even. It's not fun to say this stuff. So I'm sorry, folks, but this message will go on, and it will continue, because those are God's instructions. And before God judges a land, he always raises up messengers and voices, and he always tells the people to warn them. Why? Because he has compassion for them. And I've said that over and over on this program. So is this information just to sensationalize the doom that's out there? Is it just to create ratings? Is it just to scare people? Is it just to entertain people? No. Its purpose is to inform. Why? So that everyone that can will hear the message and be challenged to get allied with God so that they can endure the things that are coming. Because, folks, I also need to include another part of the message. God is eventually going to raise the stakes of what's going on right now. The things that are happening right now are divine. It's God's divine hand. And it seems that whichever corner of the country we look towards, we see another major news event happening. Every day, when we look at the South, we see things. To the North, the Midwest, the East, California, the Northwest, and Florida. It's happening all around us, folks. And it seems that every corner is taking their turn. And yes, it is true that not everything is happening all at once. And it's true that it seems to be happening slower than some people anticipated. It seems to be happening in slow motion. But wouldn't that show that it's the mercy of God? Wouldn't that show that his loving kindness is in play right now? Wouldn't that be proving that when God's trying to warn through the voices that are out there, the people will have a chance between the time they hear the warning and the time that the event arrives? Hopefully they have a chance to do something, to prepare, to rearrange their life, to make readjustments, to find solitude with God. Folks, that's where we are right now. Just over the past several days, for those of you that may be listening to the recent news, already more than 1,000 homes have been destroyed in at least 57 wildfires across rain-starved Texas. It seems that there's one blaze starting up after another. These fires are enormous, and they're still raging out of control in the Austin area. So far, since December, more than 100,000 acres have burned up in Texas, in drought-stricken Texas. Why is that? Was this something that just appeared all of a sudden? There's fires in Texas. Well, God didn't give us a warning about that one. Are people saying that one, folks? Well, for several years now, I believe that there have been some people warning that Texas was in trouble. I am on record announcing that a drought was coming to Texas over a year ago. Also, almost a year ago, I believe on this program we talked about why there were some cities in Texas that were in trouble, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But these fires are raging out of control, folks. They're burning up houses and stores and cars and livelihoods and the dreams of people. That's just one rail car out of the judgment train that is arriving in this nation. Just one car, folks. And I've been saying for months and months, this judgment train is continuing to arrive, and each rail car is going to have a different event inside of it. Whether we want to deny it or not, the judgment train is still arriving, my friends. So here we are. According to one of the news reports I saw, the blaze that's happening right now started on Sunday in Texas. And you know why it happened, folks? Because it was the remnants of strong wind gusts from Hurricane or Tropical Storm Lee that never made it to shore in Texas. Tropical Storm Lee that ended up arriving in Louisiana and going north. But some of those wind bands made it to Texas, and they stirred up wind, and then fire started. So isn't that interesting? Tropical Storm Lee, instead of bringing rain to Texas, Lee brought wind and fire to Texas. So now here's the big question. Why? Why is Texas burning, folks? That's easy, Nathan. It's because the ground's dry. That's why. They don't have any rain. That's why it's burning. Okay, so now we've isolated. Texas is not getting rain, and the ground is dry. So here's the next question. Why is the ground dry? Well, because they're having a drought, Nathan. Yes, that's true. They're having a drought. So that leads us to a third big question. Why is Texas in a drought? They're the Bible Belt. Texas is full of Christian right-wing Republicans. So what's the problem? Have you thought about it, folks? After all, Texas is just full of good-natured people with manners, with people that are ready to be hospitable to any visitor. Why should Texas be burning right now? Well, there's two ways to look at this. It's a coincidence, number one. It's just a weather cycle. Cycles come and go, and every few decades, it gets real dry in Texas. So, Nathan, don't try to put a spiritual dent into this thing. Or someone may say it's global warming. So, on one hand, Texas is dry because it's just the regular pattern of planet Earth. Nothing out of the irregular categories. So that's one thing. Or, it's something else. Something divine is going on. And if something divine is going on, how do the people find out that that's what it is? How can the people know that that's what it is? Well, traditionally, when people have a question, they ask their preacher. They walk up to their pastor, their preacher. And how would that happen? Well, they would walk up to him and the conversation would entail, Pastor, I have a question for you.
Yes, my son. What is it?
Why is Texas burning? Is it God's judgment? And folks, here's where it gets really interesting. Pastors seem to be saying overwhelmingly, over and over, the majority, in very, very high numbers, and I can say this because I get emails from many of you that tell these things to me, that say these things. The pastors will answer, no, God does not do that. God does not judge. So at that point, the person asking the pastor the question would say, why not? Or most likely the person might not have anything to say and just walk away, discouraged or confused or still not having an answer. So do most people give a rebuttal? Most likely not. But if they do, it doesn't seem to change the minds of these pastors. Why? Folks, let's tell the truth. Let's talk about the truth right now. Because many pastors, sorry folks, I have to say this. This is my observation. many pastors are biblically challenged and seem to, in some categories, be biblically illiterate. They understand part of God, but not all of Him. In order to be able to teach the people about God, we need to, first of all, understand who God is. We need to understand His makeup. We need to understand His attributes, what He thinks about. We need to understand the mind of God, the mind of Christ. We need to know these things. How do we know these things? Through Scripture, through the Bible, by study. That means we have to do homework to know these things. So, my friends, I conclude that there are many spiritual leaders in Texas right now that have no clue to what time it is. They have no clue that a divine event is happening before their very eyes. They have no clue that these things are being monitored by God, the God of heaven, by God Almighty, who sits on His throne, the creator of the universe. Yes, that's right, folks. God monitors planet Earth. God monitors our actions. God monitors your conversation and your thoughts. He monitors my thoughts. There is nothing hid. He's the grand divine record keeper. There's nothing that we can hide from Him, no matter where we are, even when the lights are out, even when we're alone, at the bottom of the ocean or inside the deepest cave or out in space. God is monitoring, my friends. And if God is monitoring, then that means He has an opinion. He doesn't monitor as a slug. He doesn't monitor and then make no comments about what He's seen. God's observing, my friends. And if God observes things that bother Him, that are grievous, He's going to respond. And that's what I want to mention right here. Now, folks, if you're a regular listener, I know that you have heard me say a certain verse many times. I've said it on a YouTube video. I've said it on radio interviews. I've said it many, many times, but I still need to continue saying this. And here's why. Because people do not know this passage of Scripture. So if you have a pen and paper, if you have a Bible, folks, try to write this down. Just jot this down and listen to what I'm about to say. Because when you're talking to your pastor, you can show him this verse. It's found in Jeremiah 9:23. Let me get it right here in my Bible. Jeremiah 9:23. Write this down, folks. Here we go. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. By the way, who's the wise man? I guess the person that thinks they're wise or has been told they're wise or has some fruits of wisdom in their life. But even if they are wise, they're not supposed to glory in their wisdom. They're not supposed to place their trust in their great wisdom. They're not supposed to let their wisdom be their certificate on the wall that they show to everybody and want to brag about. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. What does that mean? It means that if you work out and you have nicely shiny toned muscles, that's not where you're supposed to put your faith, my friends. When you're flexing your biceps and you lean over and kiss your bicep, that's not what you're supposed to place your trust in. It goes on, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. What does that mean? That means that what's in your checking account is not supposed to give you all the faith that you have in this life. It means that you shouldn't be relying on all your riches, thinking that your riches are going to rescue you and nothing bad will happen to you because you have money in the bank or you have wealth of this world. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So now we have the areas of life that seem to be paraded before all the inhabitants of the earth. It seems that these three categories are what get most people's attention. It seems that these three categories are what people like to parade on their Facebook. It seems that these three categories are what people like to print out on posters on their wall. The Hollywood celebrities, the Hollywood royalty. Look how beautiful they are. Look how talented they are. Look at their fame. They sing beautiful songs. So the things that earthlings like to depend on, God's saying, don't depend on them. Verse 24, but let him who glories glory in this. It means if you're going to brag about something, if you're going to be confident in something, if you're going to be proud of something within yourself, then let it be this, that he or she understands and knows me. This is God talking. Let them glory that they understand and know me. So what do we have so far, folks? If anyone wants to have confidence in this earth, my friend, if you want to have confidence in this earth, my pastor, brethren, brother, if you want to have confidence in this earth, it's not about how great your sermons are. It's what God says in Jeremiah 9:24, that he understands and knows me, meaning God. It means we have to understand God. We have to understand what he thinks about. We have to understand his heartbeat, his mind, the things that are important to him. And also, we need to know him. What does that mean? That means we understand him to the point where we're intimate with him. We have a relationship with him. He's not a stranger. He's not some mysterious entity in the sky with a lot of power. No, we know him, my friends. So if we want to be confident in anything, it should be that we understand God and we know God. What did Jesus say to the person that walked away sadly at the pearly gates? I never knew you. It goes on. Now look at this, folks. This is the part that I was getting to right here. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. This is God talking. Exercising. Now, here they are, folks. The three parts of God. The three parts that make up God. The three beats that make up the heartbeat of God. I'm the Lord exercising loving kindness. That's his mercy, his love, his grace. What's the next one, folks? Judgment and righteousness in the earth. Now, why does God do that? Does he do it because it's a hard struggle and he might as well do it because it's hard work? No. Look what it says. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So God delights in three things, folks. This is the heartbeat of God. He's a God of loving kindness. He's a God of judgment and righteousness. What's righteousness? Well, that's following his statutes. That's holy living. That's obeying his word. That part is pretty much understood. God has terms for human beings. And he has loving kindness to forgive us with his mercy. So those are two things that are talked about by many preachers. But look at the third one, folks. Judgment. God is a God of judgment. Folks, this is the Bible right here. This is the scripture right here. So if anyone walks up to a preacher and the preacher says God does not judge right now, then that shows that they don't know God or understand God. Plain and simple, folks. Let's call the kettle black. That's what it means. It means that this spiritual leader needs to do some studying. It means that this spiritual leader needs to do some praying and examining the things of God. So this is where the problem begins now. Texas is burning. Why is it burning? Because they're in a drought. Why are they in a drought? Because God has declared judgment over Texas. Now, why is that happening, folks? I'm going to talk about that in a second. But first, it needs to be established. My friends, if you find yourself struggling when you try to explain to your friends or a family member or a pastor, and they tell you God is not judging right now, that's Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. Folks, I just showed you that part of God is the part of God. So if we know him, whether or not it's in the book of Jeremiah, that is the makeup of God. But Nathan, it's in the Old Testament. Well, does God stop judging in the New Testament? Are there parts of Scripture that tell us he judges in the New Testament? What about Ananias and Sapphira? The New Testament church started with judgment. Yes, the Holy Spirit is merciful. Yes, he draws us to God. He fills us with his presence. But let's not forget, my friends, God carries a big stick. But Nathan, that's still, they're going to tell me that God doesn't judge because that's the Old Testament. Okay, folks. What about in 1 Corinthians 11? For those of you that are New Testament Christians, if you've been around a New Testament pastor that says God doesn't judge, let's talk about communion now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we are told, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself." Right there, that's talking about God's judgment. "Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." That's about judgment right there, folks. So write that one down. 1 Corinthians 11:29. God is a God of judgment. He has expectations for us, my friends. That's the main message that God wants us to know about right now. He is monitoring the acts of man right now. And for too long, the church in America and in the West has gone to sleep and tolerated many and too many misdeeds among themselves. The church has tolerated too many pastors that are knuckleheads and do silly things, that go off and have affairs, where we find out that they're crackheads and meth addicts, where we find out they're having rendezvous in hotels. Who was that pastor just a few weeks ago that was found dead in a hotel? I can't remember his name right offhand, but he was found, he's a megachurch pastor, and he was found dead.
I'm going to look it up during the break, but there's the break, folks. We're going to talk about these things on the other half, and then we're also going to talk about some coming events and the things we're facing. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
With natural and man-made disasters and economic turmoil, if we don't get well prepared, we will most certainly regret it. Good readiness must include storage of high-quality food that will build us up rather than tear us down. Much of the storable food available is full of bad fats, salt, sugar, nutrient-poor refined foods, and even MSG. In response, EnerHealth Botanicals has created our 40-day and 40-night 100% organic preparedness pail. It's GMO-free and has a 10 to 20-year shelf life if stored at 60 degrees or less. Some of the items need cooking, some can be eaten dry, while some can be soaked and sprouted. These are selling out fast at third the price of storable food packages. Call us at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. Or go to enerfood.com, E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. 866-762-9238. Or go to E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, September 6th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about some serious stuff, folks. We're talking about what the season is, what time it is. We were talking about some things that are disturbing, things that Christians don't want to talk about and discuss because it's dirty laundry. But you know what, folks? The reason that God shows up after he's been monitoring for a while, and if he shows up with a big stick, and if he shows up plowing the land and raising the stakes, that means that there are some things that are disappointing him. And if things are disappointing to our Maker, our Creator, then we need to pay attention. And folks, right now, across this country, the United States is under the divine judgment of God. I know that there are people that don't want to hear that. They don't want to think about it. But my friends, I'm sorry. It's the truth. When we look over and over and over at all the events that are transpiring across this land, folks, America is being peeled over. It's being capsized. The rudders of America have been ripped off. The sails of America have been stripped off. Folks, this nation is in trouble. I'm not going to sit here behind this microphone and say that things are going to turn around real fast, say that this is just temporary. The thing that's really disappointing, my friends, is that as we watch this event happen here in America, the voices behind pulpits seem to continue to be silent. Texas is now burning, and still the pulpits are silent. I don't hear TBN talking about revival needed in America. I don't hear Mr. Marcus Lamb talk about how America's under judgment. I don't hear Daystar talking about it. I don't hear these TV preachers talking about it. I don't hear the Kenneth Copelands and the Joel Osteens talk about it and the Jesse Duplantis talk about it. Now, why is that, folks? Are they afraid? It's happening right now. The floodgates have been opened. It's arriving. I'll tell you why they're not talking about it, because they're blind. That's why. And because there's too many pastors that are playing games, making a mockery behind the pulpit of God. I mentioned before the break that it seems that many pastors are starting to be exposed. God's tired of this, and he's had enough of this. His name is Pastor Zachary Timms. He was found dead in a Times Square hotel last month. He was there for a speaking engagement, and he was found dead lying on the floor with a bag of white powdery substance in his pocket. Now, what's up with that? Also, it was revealed that it came out that he was having a one-year-long affair with a stripper for a whole year, and he had finally admitted it to his wife. This is a pastor of a megachurch. This is a pastor that gets on TBN, preaches about God, when in reality he's a crackhead. Folks, let's just admit, the church is in a mess, and there are wolves behind pulpits that are wasting our time. They're wasting your time. Just a few months previous, it was another pastor, Eddie Long. It came out that he liked little boys. He liked to touch little boys, and he was having an affair. He was a homosexual having an affair with little boys. And over, we're hearing about this nonsense. That's why we're under judgment, folks.
God said, I will shake the earth, but first he's going to shake the church. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So God is going to purge his floor. He's going to purge and separate the chaff from the wheat. And he's going to start first with the spiritual leaders. And if you happen to be a spiritual leader, and if you have not examined this, my Christian brother, take it to the Lord in prayer. Ask him what time it is. You know, it's time that pastors set aside a time of prayer and fasting for themselves to get away from the things of the earth. My pastor friend, it's time to get a word from God, a word that burns. It burns like a fire on those that are listening, that it goes forth like a fire and it melts hearts, that it goes forth like a fire and it challenges and it tears down the walls and it breaks up the fallow ground in people. That it allows people to know that it's time for us to break up the fallow ground of our hearts. That it's time for us to rent our hearts and not our garments. My friends, we are coming across a season, a very heavy-duty season, where the things of God are going to have to become very, very important in our lives. Where the things of God are going to need to be your foundation. My friends, it's not either or. It's only. Only God's going to save us. Only God's going to give us the endurance that we need. Because coming in the future, coming down the track, that bullet train of judgment, God is going to raise the stakes. It's going to get serious, folks. And it's time for us to have our hearts awakened. It's time for us to quit goofing off. It's time for us to quit tolerating the things that we've tolerated. It's time to clean house, my friends. It's time to open that closet and get the dust out. It's time to crack open the Bible. Blow the dust off of it, my friends. Turn off the video game. Turn off that TV. Seek the face of God. It's time for families to come together. It's time for repentance to happen between husbands and wives. For relationships to be restored. For wives to repent to their husbands. Women, you know who you are. Some of your husbands can't stand it because you're driving them crazy. Because your flesh and your pride wants to control the family. Husbands, it's time for you to become the spiritual heads. It's time for you to receive your part and your role. Be the head of your house, my Christian brothers. Take the lead. Find some spiritual food for your family, my friends. It's time to start praying for our loved ones. The events that are coming are going to need the sacrifice and the storehouse and the bank account of many prayers that are stored in the altar of God in heaven, in his place. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, it says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. You know what that means, folks? It means if you say that you went up to the front and you signed that decision card, I'm a Christian, I got saved, and then you keep goofing off, and if you're not repenting, if you're not finding the mercy of God, let me read it again. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Why is that? Verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. What does that mean? That means that if we do not seek the mercy of God and the loving kindness of God after willful disobedience, if you think that that prayer you did 10 years ago is keeping you going now, even though you're acting like Babylon and you're living like the devil, folks, it's time to tell the truth here. A certain fiery expectation of judgment awaits those that are not taking this thing seriously. Now, what's that mean? It means that not repenting will resort to plan B. Hellfire, my friends. It means that we need to take this thing seriously. It goes on in Hebrews 10, 29 to 30. And verse 30, it says, the Lord will, my friends, will judge his people. That's in the book of Hebrews. That's the New Testament. For the pastor that says God doesn't judge right now, Hebrews. It's right there. I just read it. My friends, the judgment facet of God did not go away. It is still there. And he allows the case to build. For the most part, God is patient. He waits. But eventually, the cup, my friends. Now please make note of this. The cup, C-U-P, the cup of iniquity gets too full. Folks, there is a cup. And in Psalms 75, verse 7 and 8, write this down if you have a pen and paper. It says the Lord's the judge. And in verse 8, it says, in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. Psalm 75, 8. In the hand of the Lord there's a cup. So I've been saying God's monitoring the earth. God is monitoring the acts of man. God is monitoring the hearts of men. He's monitoring the kings and the elite and the poor ones. He's monitoring all of us. And also in his hand, there is a cup, my friends. It goes on in verse 8. It says, and the wine in that cup is red. The Hebrew word is shamar. Shamar, if you look that word up, means boiling. It means it's foamed up. Now, what does this mean? It means in God's hand, there is a cup, and the wine in that cup of iniquity is boiling. It's foaming up. Why is it boiling? Here's why, my friends. It goes on. It is fully mixed, and he, the Lord God, will pour it out, and surely the dregs in the cup shall all of the wicked of the earth drink down. All the wicked ones are going to drink the cup, the boiling iniquities inside that cup, and the dregs that are in that cup. Now, what are dregs? That word dregs, it means the lees. It means the sediment that settles at the bottom. It means the solids that drain to the bottom, kind of like coffee grounds. The grounds, the sediment, the dregs, they shall be drunk down by the wicked of the earth. The dregs, folks. This is the cup of iniquity that we're talking about. The dregs are the refuse, the rubbish, the sewage, and the garbage of the acts of men. The sewage that is tolerated. The sewage of immorality that has infested the lives of men. And, my friends, let me say this. The sewage and the garbage that has infested the lives of the residents and the citizens that tolerate sin in Texas. Why is Texas burning? Because Texas is under judgment. That's why, my friends. We're talking about the cup of iniquity. The cup of iniquity does not lie. The acts of men are in that cup, my friends. This is the holy part of God, and he means business when he judges. When we look at Houston, Texas, I believe I mentioned this in a previous program. Houston has a lesbian homosexual mayor that the citizens voted for. Now, what's up with that? Houstonians voted for a lesbian. What else do we have in Houston? Houston has the largest abortion mill, abortion slaughterhouse clinic in North America. Congratulations, Houston. It's off of Interstate 45, off of the Gulf Freeway in Houston. It used to be a bank building, and now they're butchering hundreds and hundreds of babies every week. Folks, I believe I mentioned this in a program a while back, that Houston is going to be judged for this. Isn't it a coincidence that, in spite of the two things I just mentioned, Houston also has the largest, or one of the largest churches in America, Mr. Joel Osteen, Mr. Master of Earth Champions Osteen. Nathan, what's wrong with Joel Osteen? He has a good positive message. Well, exactly, my friends. There's nothing wrong with Mr. Osteen. If you love the megachurch big box motivational gospel, there's nothing wrong with Mr. Osteen if you think that it's okay to get dressed up on Sunday morning and go hear a message that's really Jenny Craig light. Gospel light, hors d'oeuvres, appetizers. There's nothing wrong with the message of Mr. Osteen if the purpose of the ecclesia, the called out ones, is to gather together and then leave the church service untouched, unhealed, and unchallenged to live holy for God, to be walking closer to God. Folks, this judgment's underway. It's here, and it's moving across the land. And I know that there are haters out there. I know that there are people out there that say things about this ministry. But you know what, folks? Not everyone will have their eyes open. I guess that's just the way it is. Not everyone's going to believe. There's going to be people that reject. There always has been. Mockers and scoffers always exist. And there's always going to be people that say, you're just making stuff up. You're just trying to scare people. You know what, folks? We're beyond that. The train of judgment's arriving. And I've talked about the many, many rail cars that this train of judgment has. And each rail car is a different event. Some people may say, when's it arriving in my town? I don't see it. When? Well, you know, folks, it's different. It's different in many areas. In Texas, we have the smoke of houses going up in flames. The East Coast is mopping up the mud. In the Midwest, we have bread lines from the unemployed. Throughout the land, people are displaced. They're homeless. They're dislocated from their jobs. And across the land, throughout the land, we have people sleeping in their cars on Walmart parking lots. Throughout the land, folks, people are sleeping in the cars. They're sleeping in tents. They're sleeping in their RVs. The new millennium bread line is growing. Food stamps. And it's not just one thing that this judgment train is bringing, my friends. It's many things. It's here, but it's also approaching. The engine of the train has already crossed the tracks over this land. Some of you saw it cross the tracks. Some of you saw some of the events that it had. But that rail car is miles and miles long. It is days long. It is months long, and it is years long. There's more hurricanes that are going to show up. Right now, there's two hurricanes that are, or tropical depressions or disturbances or storms that seem to be forming right now by Africa. When's the next one going to be? What's the next hurricane? I have a report that I have right here that the one that's behind Katia out in the Atlantic Ocean by Africa may come closer to the United States. They're still not sure, but it seems to have all of the right tools to be something of a threat. So possibly next week we're going to be hearing about that one. But folks, more events are coming. More earthquakes are coming. More tornadoes. Winter's coming. We're going to have very challenging storms in the winter. We're going to have big freezes. Nathan, you're depressing me. I didn't turn on this program to get depressed. Folks, I'm just the messenger. This is reality. And it's okay if you get mad at me, but the drought's still going to continue. If you decide to turn me off and say Nathan Liao's a false prophet, he just prophesies this stuff and he just likes to make people scared. Well, first of all, my friends, I have never one time called myself a prophet. That's for the record. So for those of you that are out there exchanging that information, you're exchanging slander and lies. But moving on beyond that, it's reality. These things are coming. God has raised up and he's recruiting many voices. And these voices that he's recruiting are watchmen. They're messengers. They're servants. But I've noticed that there are the mockers and scoffers out there that will say, Messenger A is a false prophet. Messenger B is a false prophet. Messenger C is a false. You know, folks, these messengers, I've talked with a lot of them, and there's many of them that have also said they've never claimed to be prophets. So I guess that's the way it's always going to be, right, folks? If God shows up and gives somebody a message, does that mean they're prophets? What about the shepherds, the little shepherd boys that the angels appeared to during the birth of Jesus? They had a message from the Lord. Did that make them prophets? No, but they had a message from God. Go see the child. Folks, just because we get a message from God does not mean that someone's a prophet. I'm saying that as a side note, but I understand that there are some haters out there that want to accuse and point fingers. So aside from that, if you can listen to this program and the information you're hearing right now, put aside who the person is. It doesn't matter who Nathan is. It doesn't matter who I am. Listen to the information. And this is the information, my friends. You need to get right with God. You need to become allied with God. Every one of us do. We need to have our relationship solidified with God. Folks, I've received hundreds and hundreds of emails from many of you that have testified that you've taken this information privately to God, and you've asked him if this information is true. And hundreds and hundreds of times, I get it on my emails from you, God is repeatedly bearing witness that that's what's going on right now. There is a shaking going on, and the shaking is going to increase. God is revealing these things to the young, to the old, to the middle age, to women, to men, to young people, to old people. He is revealing this because he loves you, my friends. He loves all of us, and he wants us to be warned, to get ready, to get right, to find a safe haven with him. Now, last week I had Rick Wiles as a guest, and Rick Wiles made a very profound comment. He said, you know, Nathan, some of us may try to get ready, to be prepared and ready, but in all actuality, some of us aren't going to make it. Some people are going to die. You know, folks, that's true. I thought about that. I know that I say a lot of times we need to do everything we can to be sheltered under the protective wing of God, clothed and provided for. But my friends, in actuality, some people are going to perish. Some Christians are going to perish. Some of us are going to perish. Does that mean that God was unhappy with you or me if we do perish? God's sovereign, and he knows the future. Perhaps if he allows some to perish, then he's saving them from an even more gruesome future. Maybe he's doing that out of his loving kindness and mercy. So my friends, that's why we need to be prepared, because in the events that are coming, what happens if a storm arrives next week or next month? What happens if a hurricane arrives in your town and some of your family members perish, or you're going to perish. Of course, you don't know that now, but how do we know the future? We need to be right with God, folks, because at any given day, the stakes are going to be raised. The momentum is here, and we could see people perishing before our eyes. We could see loved ones perishing. That's why we need to continue praying for the mercy of God, to see our loved ones saved and turned in their hearts to the mercy of God, to receive His salvation. Folks, this message was a hard message. This message was a message that needed to go forth and have hearts that were set ablaze in determination with an earnest desire to realize how desolate we are without God, to realize that without God, we're lost. Folks, the economy is going to continue to crumble. The dollar's crash is coming. The euro's going to crash. The eurozone's going to crash. We're going to see food get expensive. Inflation is coming. Many events, folks, they're coming. We're going to see war happen. A terrorist attack is right around the corner. Where? I don't know. Last week I shared that I had another dream. Last Tuesday, I saw a mushroom cloud over New York City. Folks, things are coming, and it's time for our hearts to be aligned with God. It's the what-if factor, my friends, that we cannot forget. The what-if factor. The what-if factor includes the possibility. What if we don't make it? What if we've been destined to be a martyr for God? Or what if it's the destiny of our loved ones or us to only make it so far in this thing? What if it's not the destiny of God for us to make it to the very end? My friends, I know that those words are very sobering. What if our time to go is sooner than we thought? What if our day is at hand? And folks, if that is the truth, if that is a possibility, which it very well is, because God knows our futures, that means that the day after our what if happens, there's no more time to plant and to build. There will be no more time to add to the basket of fruit that we've been gathering in our Christian walk. There will be no more time to settle and resolve and reconcile with those around us. There will be no second chance to say I'm sorry to the person that you've been holding it against. There will be no second chance to forgive the one that has offended you. Folks, these are very serious times. We don't want to go to our grave. We don't want to go into eternity. We don't want to step forth into the other side beyond the veil with regrets. I don't want to see that happen for you, my friends. God is the judge and He is monitoring. And my friends, for you, I want to hear God say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." I want to hear the Lord Jesus say, "Welcome home," when He looks into your eyes, extend His arms of welcome, and embrace you in a hug. I know that this was a very, very serious and hard warning message, but my friends, it needs to be, because that's what time we're living in right now. That's what time it is. My friends, the mercy of God awaits you. He is a God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. And because He is judging, He wants to draw us to His loving kindness. With a heart that is broken, with a heart that is hungry, and with a heart that will be satisfied with nothing less than the mercy of God. And God is not some stranger in the sky that wants to hold things against us. God wants to forgive. There is a sacrifice that is available. It was the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus on the cross, and it's available for all of us, my friends. So let's take advantage of that sacrifice. Let's take advantage of the mercy of God right now as our day awaits. Well, folks, it looks like we're out of time. My friends, share this message with your loved ones. Some of those verses that I shared with you, I want to challenge you to read them and let them become a part of you. Let them become yours. Know them inside and out. Share those verses with your loved ones and your pastor and your friends. I want to make a quick announcement. I'm working on Sermon 164, and it's going to go further into the things we're talking about right now. It's going to go into knowing God. It's going to go into the part of us that needs to really seek God. It's going to be coming out soon, folks, so be looking for that. If you're new to this ministry, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a place where you can subscribe to all notifications for future sermons. Whenever this new sermon comes out, I'll send you a notification where you can download and listen to it. Keep plugging away, my friends. Keep seeking God. If these messages are a blessing to you, and if you see the benefit of what we're doing here, our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856,
or you can go to our website and contact us there. My friends, I love you. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.